In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Jeremiah chapter 48. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Against Moab, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, woe unto Nebo, for it is spoiled. Kiriathaim is confounded and taken. Mizgab is confounded and dismayed. There shall be no more praise of Moab. In Heshbon they have devised evil against it. Come, and let us cut it off from being a nation. Also shalt thou be cut down, O Madmen. The sword shall pursue thee. A voice of crying shall be from Horonaim, spoiling in great destruction. Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused a cry to be heard. For in the going up of Luhit, continual weeping shall go up. For in the going down of Horonaim, the enemies have heard a cry of destruction. Flee, save your lives, and be like the heath in the wilderness. For because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasures, thou shalt also be taken, and Chemosh shall go forth into captivity with his priests and his princes together. And the spoiler shall come upon every city, and no city shall escape. The valley also shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed, as the Lord hath spoken. Give wings unto Moab, that it may flee and get away. For the cities thereof shall be desolate, without any to dwell therein. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lees, and has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send unto him wanderers that shall cause him to wander, and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. And Moab shall be ashamed of Chemosh, as the house of Israel was ashamed of Bethel, their confidence. How say ye, we are mighty and strong men for the war? Moab is spoiled and gone up out of her cities, and his chosen young men are gone down to the slaughter, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. The calamity of Moab is near to come, and his affliction hasteth fast. All ye that are about him bemoan him, and all ye that know his name say, how is the strong staff broken and the beautiful rod? Thou daughter that dost inhabit Dibon, come down from thy glory and sit in thirst, for the spoiler of Moab shall come upon thee, and he shall destroy thy strongholds. O inhabitant of Aroer, stand by the way and espy. Ask him that fleeth and her that escapeth, and say, what is done? Moab is confounded, for it is broken down. Howl and cry. Tell ye it in Arnon that Moab is spoiled. And judgment shall come upon the plain country, upon Holon, and upon Jahaza, and upon Mephaat, and upon Dibon, and upon Nebo, and upon Beth Diblathaim, and upon Kiriathaim, and upon Beth Gamul, and upon Beth Meon, and upon Kerioth, and upon Bozrah, and upon all the cities of the land of Moab, far or near. The horn of Moab is cut off, and his arm is broken, saith the Lord. Make ye him drunken, for he magnified himself against the Lord. Moab shall wallow in his vomit, and he also shall be in derision. For was not Israel a derision unto thee? Was he found among thieves? For since thou spakest of him, thou skippest for joy. O ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities, and dwell in the rock, and be like the dove that maketh her nest in the sides of the hole's mouth. We have heard the pride of Moab. He is exceeding proud. His loftiness and his arrogancy, and his pride and the haughtiness of his heart. I know his wrath, saith the Lord, but it shall not be so. His lies shall not so affect it. Therefore will I howl for Moab and will cry out for all Moab. Mine heart shall mourn for the men of Kir-Hares. O vine of Sibmah, I will weep for thee with the weeping of Jazer. Thy plants are gone over the sea. They reach even to the sea of Jazer. The spoiler is fallen upon thy summer fruits and upon thy vintage. And joy and gladness is taken from the plentiful field and from the land of Moab. And I have caused wine to fail from the wine presses. None shall tread with shouting. Their shouting shall be no shouting. From the cry of Heshbon, even unto Elialah, or Elialah, and even unto Jahaz, have they uttered their voice. From Zoar, even unto Horonaim, as the heifer of 3 years old. For the waters also of Nimrim shall be desolate. Moreover, I will cause to cease in Moab, saith the Lord, him that offereth in the high places, and him that burneth incense to his gods. Therefore, mine heart shall sound for Moab like pipes, and mine heart shall sound like pipes for the men of Kir-Hares, because the riches that he hath gotten are perished. For every head shall be bald, and every beard clipped, and upon all the hands shall be cuttings, and upon the loins sackcloth. There shall be lamentation generally upon all the housetops of Moab, and in the streets thereof. For I have broken Moab like a vessel, wherein is no pleasure, saith the Lord. They shall howl, saying, how is it broken down? How hath Moab turned the back with shame? So shall Moab be a derision and a dismaying to all them about him. For thus saith the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle and shall spread his wings over Moab. Kerioth is taken, and the strongholds are surprised, and the mighty men's hearts in Moab at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. And Moab shall be destroyed from being a people, because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. Fear in the pit and the snare shall be upon thee, O inhabitant of Moab, saith the Lord. He that fleeth from the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that getteth up out of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For I will bring upon it, even upon Moab, the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. They that fled stood under the shadow of Heshbon because of the force. But a fire shall come forth out of Heshbon, and a flame from the midst of Sihon, and shall devour the corner of Moab, and the crown of the head of the tumultuous ones. Woe be unto thee, O Moab! The people of Chemosh perisheth, for thy sons are taken captives, and thy daughters captives. Yet I will bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So as we said earlier in our study of the book of Jeremiah, that in these last several chapters, although there is an epilogue at the end of that, but before that time, we're going to turn our hand, or the Lord will turn his gaze upon the nations around Israel and will pronounce judgment upon them. And here we have Moab. In the last chapter, we had the Philistines and those that dwelt along the Mediterranean Sea. And in the chapter before that, we heard about the destruction of Egypt. So we have Egypt, Philistines, and the seafarers, and now we have Moab. The next will be, obviously, Ammon. Moab and Ammon having their beginning, remember, in the illicit relations between Lot and his two daughters. One gave birth to Moab, one gave birth to Ammon. And instead of being friends to Abraham and the covenant people, they had been bitter enemies to them ever since they were founded. So, in chapter 48, there are a number of geographical place names. If you know your Bible geography, you know that most of these names will find up toward and to the east of the Sea of Kinnereth, right? to the east of the Sea of Kinnereth, or the Sea of Galilee, in that land up on the eastern side of Jordan. That is where Moab was, maybe a little bit south from there. But that's where Moab was. It was a beautiful land, well watered. There are heights in that area. There are mountains, hills. There is places aplenty for flocks and sheep, for the growing and cultivation of farmlands and so on. It's a beautiful land. Really, the whole Jordan Valley on both sides is well suited for all kinds of production. So, geographically, then their land was south and east, so east of the Dead Sea and going northward from there. Their national god was Chemosh, and they had a host of lesser deities that they called Baalim, and these are noted in the names of their cities and towns. So you have Baal Zephon and so on, Baal Berit, and so you have the term Baal, and in Hebrew that simply means master or lord. I don't know if you remember this or not, but when we were studying the book of Revelation, remember the name Baal-am. We say Balaam. Baal-am. The word am is the word for the people, any group of people. So Baal-am is the master over the people, right? And so it was always called that because they were either supreme or lesser deities, but they had charge over the people that did them service. And so they ended up doing all sorts of crazy Canaanite worship practice under the name of Baalim. Remember that the people of God were snared with the Moabites at Baal Peor. And who was the prophet? Baal-am, Balaam, that was in cahoots with the king of Moab. And you remember him as Balak. Remember that? So the history that the people of God have with Moab is a long and difficult history. But the Lord, I don't know, maybe it is some Bible interpreters go this direction. Maybe it is the Lord's offering some comfort to his people. The people of God might have been tempted to say in the days of Jeremiah, well, you're punishing us. How about all these other nations around us? And the Lord would say, they will not escape either. I've raised up Nebuchadnezzar so that he will be that flood that overflows all the land. And he's going to start in the northeast there along the river Euphrates, and he will finish in Egypt. And he will flow over all of these lands, and they shall all become his. So Moab then is drawn under the crosshairs. I think that there's not really a whole lot to explain here in this passage. There are the geographical names and where they are, and that's a little bit different and a little bit hard to understand. But you need to know the geography there. But notice also that there are that Moab had a lot of reason to confide in himself, carnally speaking, because notice in verse 32, O vine of Sibma, I will weep for thee with the weeping of Jazer. Thy plants are gone over the sea. They reach even to the Sea of Jazer. The spoiler is fallen upon thy summer fruits and upon thy vintage, and joy and gladness is taken from the plentiful field and from the land of Moab, or even from the land of Moab. That Moab was a plentiful field, and she had, as a nation, spread out her influence far and wide, and she enjoyed much temporal prosperity. But like many who enjoy temporal prosperity, she raised up her own gods. And that chief god was Chemosh. And we talked about this earlier a little bit with Jephthah in the book of Judges, where the Moabites come to him and they say, you took our land away from us. That was the tribes of Transjordania, right? They took that land, Reuben, Gad, half tribe of Manasseh. They ended up in as those two and a half tribes on that eastern side of Jordan from the Dead Sea up to the Sea of Kinnereth, the Sea of Galilee. And they had much land up there, and the Moabites said, that was ours. And the Lord and all of a sudden, Jephthah, thank you, says to them, no, that's not your land. That's our land. The Lord gave it to us. You'll have what your God, Chemosh, has given you. And, of course, the implied comment of that is, you won't have anything. You're going to trust in Chemosh. You won't have anything. Right? There is no hope in idols. And so we see this. This comes to fruition. The thesis statement, I think, is found in verse 42. And Moab shall be destroyed from being a people because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. That's the thesis you can write over the whole chapter. To develop your own deity, to develop your own worship, to develop your own doctrine, to develop your own and throw off what God has given, that is indeed to magnify yourself against the Lord God, to usurp the rightful place that belongs to him. And because Moab has done that, then he will be cut off. All right, a couple of things, and then we'll be done. First of all, is it really that late? Man. It's always that late, Pastor Rudolph. All right, so the first thing is the evangelical witness of Jeremiah. Jeremiah does not rejoice. We don't hear him rejoicing over the fall of Moab, do we? He's saying, my heart shall sound for Moab. And so there's a proper evangelical tenderness, just like we read in Isaiah, the evangelical prophet, when we hear of him and his harangues against the nations, how that there are times in which he stops and you hear his heart sounding in that evangelical beat for those whom the Lord has put as targets of his anger. And so Jeremiah does the same here. And so we don't rejoice in human suffering. We don't stand and cheer when the enemies of God are brought low. We remember that at one time we were enemies as well. Now, in some of the imprecatory Psalms, we'll understand that there may be times for that. But there are also times for this kind of attitude that we see in Jeremiah here. That his bowels will sound for Moab. He will have compassion upon those whom God judges. And perhaps that has something to do with the fact that they did have access at one point to special revelation through Abraham and Lot. Okay, and then the other thing that I wanted to mention here, let me see if I can find it. The things in which Moab particularly trusted, those were the things that the Lord used to make them their downfall. They trusted in their commerce, in their fields, in their flocks, and the Lord said, you're going to find that when the destroyer comes, he will destroy you in exactly those things. The things that we find that are the monuments of our idolatry, the Lord takes those away first, in other words. All right, with that, then, we'll end the reading of Jeremiah chapter 48, and we'll stand.